Now on Bloomberg 106.1.
Every streetlight, every pothole, every park, every classroom lays the foundation for greater change.
We have so much opportunity here in Massachusetts to build a green, equitable economy that is a catalyst globally.
Today, vaccines are widely available across the Commonwealth, and millions of people in Massachusetts have stepped up to get vaccinated.
We don't understand why these waves last 2.5 months, so how can we predict what's going to happen next?
This is Bloomberg Bay State Business with Tom Maroney, Joe Shortsleeve, and Kim Kerrigan on Bloomberg 106.1 Boston Newburyport and 92.9 HD2.
Feels like summer out there. We got about 66 degrees and sunshine here in downtown Boston. It's Thursday, November the 18th. Yeah, enjoy it while it lasts, right? Welcome to the 2 o'clock hour, Bloomberg Bay State Business. We're with you till 5 o'clock tonight. Joe Shortsley, Tom Maroney's off. Janet Wu joins me in the co-host chair. And Ann Mostu's handling the news duties on the news desk today. Yeah, 66 degrees. Equity markets, a couple, 3 minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock, they are mixed. All right. So we're spending this a half hour looking ahead to the November 2022 referendum question regarding the millionaire's tax here in the state of Massachusetts. Of course, it would add a 4% charge for those making more than $1 million. We just heard from Greg Sullivan. He's the research director at the Pioneer Institute, and they basically are out with a study that suggests that the surtax would also extend to pass-through income from entities such as S and limited liability corporations, partnerships, and sole proprietors. That are taxed on individual tax returns. So the implications there, Greg was saying, are far-reaching and that people may not completely understand that. Now, Chris Anderson is our next guest on this topic as well, the millionaire's tax. He's the president of the Massachusetts High Tech Council. And there was a story that caught our attention yesterday. It was written by Greg Ryan at the Boston Business Journal. And he talks a little bit about how the Massachusetts High Technology Council is likely to launch a court challenge to the ballot language for the so-called millionaire's tax unless the question says the tax would not necessarily increase spending on schools and transportation, it said in a letter this week. So, Chris, welcome. We've been hearing a little bit about this issue, that this that they're selling this is that, yeah, this money's going to be raised, this $2 billion, it's going to go to schools and transportation, but not so fast, correct?
Correct, and it's good to be with you and Janet, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, the issue that we're focused on right now really is the description of the question that the Attorney General is charged with preparing, and that's what most people look at when they don't read or understand the full text of any particular ballot question, and it's supposed to be a fair and accurate and concise summary of what the question does. We think the way she wrote the Attorney General wrote the description for the question that was appearing or going to appear in 2018 is misleading. And so we are challenging the language used in that description in hopes of getting.
Have you seen the language? Have you actually seen the Attorney General's language?
No, and the letter yesterday was designed to ask her to produce that language. She actually has until May of 2022 to do so. but the Supreme Judicial Court has, in prior rulings, asked that if any challenge to any aspect of a pending ballot question in any given year is contemplated, it should be brought to the court by February of that particular year. So. Mm-hmm. We've got a bit of a timing warp here, and we're trying to make sure that we meet the court's request.
Hence the timing of your bringing this right now. Given this structure, do you feel like you're already penalized before even the courts may weigh in on this?
Well, the Attorney General has every opportunity to avoid the court feeling pinched, and that's really the issue that the court is discussing here. So by asking the Attorney General now and providing a rock-solid rationale for the request, we're hoping that she accommodates that and makes a decision on what that language will be in a timely fashion.
All right, Chris Anderson's with us. He's the president of the Massachusetts High Tech Council. But let's get to the root of this. The whole idea is that that the promise is that this money is going to be earmarked for specific areas, education, transportation. And you're saying, I believe, the bottom line is that's not true, correct?
That's 100% correct. The way the question is written and the way the Attorney General agreed in her arguments before the court a couple of years ago, The legislature has the ability to do whatever it wants with education and transportation funding. So technically, that funding could be reduced and replace the tax money by taking out existing funds. The bottom line is there's no guarantee. Most people think that all of this new money, if it comes from this tax amendment, will be in addition to the funds currently being spent in education and transportation. The Attorney General agreed that that's not the case in her filings in 2018. And we know that voters, once they're told this, feel misled if we don't correct the language otherwise. And that was, you know, part of the information we released earlier this week in order to validate how people view the current language and how they would feel if they were to learn that that current language does not guarantee this new funding.
Okay, let's shift right now from the language to just the bigger picture. You were preceded by a conversation we had with Greg Sullivan from the Pioneer Institute, their study and the findings from that entity basically does not approve of these new taxes, saying that it will penalize business. Can you remind us of the stand of the Mass High Tech Council? Do you similarly feel that these tax changes that the voters will weigh next year, that they could be potentially damaging for business in Massachusetts?
Yeah, and the Pioneer Institute did a great job of overviewing exactly how many taxpayers and how broadly this proposed tax change would reach. Most of the economic power that comes from the private sector is driven by people in S-corps and partnerships, small businesses, many of whom will now be subject to this new surtax. And there are some that will be subject to it on an annual basis and some that will be subject to it periodically, mm-hmm. Either on the sale of a business or a home or when their business has a really good year.
And as a follow-up, my question to you is, it's generally, you say, damaging to business. You represent the Mass High Tech Council. Do you feel from a high tech perspective that group stands to lose more than even other businesses here in Massachusetts?
Well, we're in an environment after COVID and as we're coming out of COVID where work norms have changed dramatically. And if the welcome mat in Massachusetts, whether it's a permanent tax in the Constitution that affects the environment for investment and job growth or escalating unemployment insurance costs or a whole range of other issues that add to the cost of a job in Massachusetts, of which there have been many over the course of the last 10 years. Any marginal change affects the climate for this innovation economy in a big way. So, yeah, I mean, we have some high-income workers at many of these innovation companies that have the flexibility now of changing their domicile, continuing to do their job, but doing it in a state that has a more tax-friendly environment.
Chris Anderson, the Mass High Tech Council, is our guest. All right, so you sent the letter to the Attorney General. How much time does she have to respond? And once you see that response, what happens next?
This is fairly unprecedented. So I don't believe she has a deadline by which she has to respond. She can ignore us. And just release her description of the 2022 tax amendment in May, or she can respond earlier. So what we'll do is if we haven't gotten a response by January, we will likely then go to the Supreme Judicial Court and get them involved in the process and see what they have to say about the timing. And, of course, we're reviewing or providing the court, and we provided the AG, with her language that was submitted as a basis for what the new description should be so it accurately reflects how this operates and does not mislead voters.
Yeah, I know that you touched upon it with Janet's question, but I'm curious as to what you make of Suffolk Construction CEO John Fish's comments. He's going to be a guest on our program tomorrow, so we obviously can ask him straight up then. But obviously you've seen that he's sort of, hinted, well, you know, if this happens, I could be doing business somewhere else.
Well, he's not alone, and you know, good for him to have the courage to speak his mind. There's a lot of those sentiments being shared in private conversations, some not so private. Hey, listen, we've got some great companies, some that are based in downtown Boston, that have been courted aggressively by governors in other states. And you know, where is the tipping point for many of these individuals? We think that the permanent tax in the state constitution, which no other state does, by the way, is a big threat, because if, in fact, the legislature finds that the consequences, the negative consequences, are becoming a reality, they cannot address this issue. It takes more than 4 years to try to remove this from the Constitution, and then the people have to approve it. So this is about as permanent as you can get from a policy position, and it's so dramatic that no other state has even dared to go this direction.
All right. Chris Anderson, he's the president of the Massachusetts High Tech Council. Obviously, this is a topic near and dear to Bloomberg Bay State Business, and we will continue to follow this issue closely.